We've talked about our time. We've talked about our talent. We're going to look at our testimony. And then we're going to look in at our treasures. But we see today, get your Bibles and go to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Verse number 15, the Bible says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And we see that we are to shine as lights in the world. Why? Because we're walking in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now understand, because we have lived a sheltered life of being protected by our Appalachian mountains and our heritage of our society, we only think that today we are living in perverseness. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, the world's been perverse since Adam. Amen? And remember, sometimes we think, well, man, the world's just getting so dark today. Well, understand this, the darker the darkness, the brighter the light shines. And light does not overcome darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light makes darkness light. It dispels it. And we are to shine as lights in this world. We're not the overcomers of this world. Understand this, there's one day that He's coming back and He is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we have victory in this world. We have victory in this life. And I don't want to say we're not overcomers, but we are overcomers in the fact that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But understand this, this world's not going to get better. All right? It's not going to get better. If anything, it's going to get worse. Evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. But we are to shine brighter. And our testimony is the only thing that we have to shine with of what Christ did for us. And He's telling us here that we're to shine His light. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14 through 16. Remember, Jesus there is on the Sermon on the Mount, and He's teaching. There's about the Beatitudes, and He gets here, and in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The seeing of your good works depends upon you. Y'all understand that? Your light shining depends upon you. You are not the light, just as John was. John said, "I'm not the light, but I've sent bear witness of the light." But understand, after Jesus came, and then He went to the Father, and came back, and we got back, then He sent us the Holy Ghost, and He indwelt believers. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. You're the light now. You're the one that's to shine bright. You're the one that's supposed to glorify God by your good works." And understand this, the darker the night, the brighter the light. If I struck a match in here, it would not give out much light. But if it was in the pitch black darkness, you could rest assured a match light would give a lot of light when taken in consideration, okay, of the darkness. So understand, we are to shine as lights. It's Christ in us and Christ shining through us, but we're the ones, we've got to let it shine. We don't need to hide it under a bushel. We don't need to be ashamed of our testimony. We don't need to be ashamed of what God has done for us and what God has made us. So often in our life, we're ashamed to let anyone in the world know that we're a Christian because we're ashamed that they might belittle us, or we're ashamed that they might make fun of us. And I'm not talking about being arrogant, and I'm not talking about being an arrogant light, but I'm just talking about, or artificial light. I'm just talking about being a light that God would have you to be. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. And may the world see your good works. And we have to be faithful to that. It's real easy just to let others pass by. It's real easy not to let our good works shine forth. And so we are to letting our light shine so that others can see it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. According to 1 Peter 3:15, we would be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Why would they ask if they can't see? You ever thought about that? If we don't let our light shine that the world may see, that the darkness of the world may see the hope that is in us, the light that is in us, the life that is in us, then they'll have no reason to ask us what the hope is that is within us. Why are you so peaceful? Why are you so happy? Why are you not concerned? Why do you have peace in the time of trouble? Why do you have calm in the middle of the storm? How can you have a good outlook when all is going bad? How do you do that? You're letting your light shine and others may see, okay? But if we have to let Christ do that through us, it's not within our own power, okay? But we got to let Christ do that to us and for us. Now, some people go looking to give an answer. I used to be one of them people. I'll be honest with you. I used to be one of those people that liked to talk. I used to be one of those people that wanted to be heard by everybody. That if it crossed my mind that it was come out my lips, whether you agreed with it or whether you didn't. Okay? But my Bible taught me, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But now when somebody asks me a question, and I'm going to somewhere with this, somebody asks me a question, I will give them an answer. But I have learned, okay, I don't know if it's in maturity, and I'm not mature, I'm not coming to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, but I have learned you can't argue with a donkey. They like to bray, okay? They like to let you know who they are and where they are. And you ain't going to correct them. And you ain't going to win an argument with them. But now, if that donkey comes to you and asks you, why are you so quiet? Well, let me tell you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Don't be the donkey, but be ready to answer the donkey. Amen? Be ready to give a reason of the hope that is within you. May God let our light so shine, not just by our words, but by our works, that they may see, not hear, but they may see. If you and I have to go around wearing a t-shirt telling everybody that we love Jesus, and you and I have to go around wearing blasting it that I'm a Christian, then understand they're hearing you and not seeing you. Is it wrong to be heard? No. But he didn't say, let your mouth so ring that they may hear your good works, okay, and glorify your Father in heaven. But he said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. we have a faithfulness to our testimony that we are to let our light shine. May God help us. Why? Because we may be the only beggar that's telling the next beggar where to get bread. We may be the only one that is a Bible to those that we come in contact with. I mean, we have members of our church that they never heard the name Jesus until they were 17, 18 years old. I mean, as I said, we've lived secluded in our buckle of the Bible Belt, surrounded by the Appalachian Mountains, surrounded by a good godly heritage, and we think that when we was raised, everybody knew something about Jesus. Everybody knew God. Everybody we was affiliated with, they went to church. And back in those days, and even more your time than my time, there wasn't a whole lot of difference in the Baptist and the Methodist around here. There's a lot of difference today. Okay? A lot. All right? But your neighbors, you can remember those protracted meetings and how that, you know, and I'm just going back to, I think, a reason why we don't let our light shine so much. Just remember those protracted meetings. You had morning services day and night. Did anybody besides me experience all that? Yeah? You had, and the reason is you had, I'll just use this, you had Zion at 1 week and Shoal Creek the next week and Mount View the next week and this. Churches didn't have revival the same week. All right? And I remember, it was protracted. It just went from one church to the other. And man, everybody went. And the reason they done it in the summertime, you know why they done protracted meetings in the summertime? Because the crops was laid by. There was nothing to do. The first cutting of hay was done. The crops was laid by. It was a time of waiting. And they had protracted meetings in the summertime. All right? That's why they done it then. So what I'm saying is we assume that everybody that we come in contact with was a Christian. But we're not living in those days anymore. We're the minority in society. They are more those that don't know Jesus that we come in contact with every day than they are those that know Jesus. And we are to let our light shine. We have a faithfulness to our testimony. So, may God help us be a witness, because there's others out there that need it. Stewardship of our treasure, page 139. The same principles of stewardship that apply to our time, our talents, our testimony are given for the management of our money. All the money that you and I have is from God, and it is God's. All of it. And understand, a tithe is, and we're going to look at that, is what's due you. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I just had a thought of a man, but I'll maybe the Lord will allow me to bring that back. Yeah. Look up Deuteronomy 8:18. You remember back in, that's a rabbit, I'll just, can't do that. Let's stay where we're at. I'm learning. I said I've not mastered it, but I'm learning that everything that comes across my mind don't have to come out my mouth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with thee, swearing to thy fathers as it is this day. You say, well, that's Old Testament. But understand this, that's not a statement about us, it's about God. For it is He that giveth power, y'all see that, to get wealth. Why don't God bless me? Maybe you can't handle it. I don't know. It's God's the one that gives us power. Maybe because you're not content with what you have. I mean, just be honest. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with such things as you have. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. But understand, we're talking about money, and whether we have $5 or whether we have $500,000, it's all come from God. It's all of God. Don't accuse God because He's not given to it to you if you don't have as much as somebody else. Just be thankful that you got what you got. Amen? So, it's God that gives us. The stewardship of God's money is usually referred to in the Bible as tithes and offerings. The following scriptures will teach you what the Bible says concerning tithes and offerings. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 14, the first time that tithes is mentioned. This is before the law was ever given by Moses. God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans to come and follow Him. And he goes down into the land of Egypt. And he comes back out. Somehow or another, Lot has lifted up his plane, his eyes toward the plain, and they've separated themselves one from another. And all of a sudden, you'll find that Lot and all those of Sodom got captured by the enemy. And then we find that Abraham, in verse number 14, heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he went and he brought back, look, verse 16, brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, I believe this is pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, just to be honest with you, okay? The Bible says that Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Understand, the high priest came before the law did. He was a priest of God, okay? Melchizedek. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. A tenth of everything that Abraham got back, he gave back to God. A tithe is a tenth. That's why it's called a tenth. He gave him a tithe of all. He gave him a tenth of all. So we see before the law ever came by Moses, Abraham was tithing. All right? Look in Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 2. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and James. The Holy Ghost brings this back to our attention in the New Testament in verse number 1 of chapter number 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first by being interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Here's why I believe it's without the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And we find that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, which penned the Word of God, brings back to our attention in the New Testament the account of Abraham giving a tenth there to God. Okay, offering it unto Him. So, it's a tenth of our income. What is a tithe from $500? Surely you can figure it out. If not, pull your phone out and divide it by 10 and you'll get 50. Okay? All right. If not, take off your shoes and count. But you'll have to borrow somebody else's hands too, because and toes, and then somebody else's hands. So, but is the practice of tithing for New Testament Christians? Some people, usually those who don't want to tithe, say tithing was an Old Testament practice for Jews only. It was given under the law, and the Christian is not under the law, but under grace. Remember, you're not under the law, but under grace, according to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. However, let's look at the following scriptures. We looked at Abraham. He commenced it, or he began it. He began it. Okay? Abraham commenced it. Go to Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis 28. Verses 20 and 22. And Jacob, remember, Jacob has just had the dream of the angels descending and ascending on it. In verse 16, he awaked and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Verse 19, he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in thy way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a what? Tenth. Unto thee." Abraham commenced it, but Jacob continued it. Why do you think Abraham knew to give, or Jacob knew to give a tenth? Because his granddaddy had taught him. We're to teach it to our children. And all my children tithe, but I've got one. I mean, man, that's the first thing that one does. It don't matter if that child gets $3 or $3,000. That's the first thing that child does. Because his mama taught him, I guess. I don't know. But it's taught. It's taught. And Abraham commenced it, but Jacob continued it. But understand this, these things were written for our examples and our admonition upon whom the end of this world has come. We are seeing the principle of this throughout the Word of God. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter number 27. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now, we're going to look at this, and let's read this verse, then we'll talk about it. "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem all of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part of it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai." Now understand this morning. Let's break this down just for a moment. The children of Israel had a monetary system, okay? They did have silver. But that was not all the trading was done. Was not done with just money. That was not all the livelihood that God had given them was just money. They didn't go out. See, the lot today, and some of you went out and you worked 8 hours and you got a paycheck. All right? Sometimes in that day, they worked and all they had was the fruit of their land. All right? And they were to bring tithes of all. Okay? Is that not what he said? You bring all and all the tithe of the land, whether it be seed, okay, or fruit of the tree. It's holy unto the Lord. Now remember, the tabernacle was set up and the priests were there. And how was the priest to be took care of? Anybody remember that? They were to be took care of the tribe of Levi. God was their possession. But they were to be took care of out of what was brought to the house of God. Okay? They were not to have land and crops. They were to be they were given. They did have some, but their main task was the house of God. They wasn't given as much land as the rest of the children of Israel was. So the tithes took care of the house of God and those that served in the house of God. Now understand this. Everything was not based upon money. God said, you got a peach tree? You pick 5 bushels of fruit off of it? Half a bushel is mine. You got a garden, you pick 10 buckets of beans? God help you if you had to pick 10 buckets of beans. If you pick 10 buckets of beans, guess what? God says, one of them's mine. Now, this is a principle. And it was this way. Goes on to the cattle and the sheep and everything that passed under the rod. And what that meant is they counted as they brought them into the fold and they held them under the rod. And that's how they counted them. Okay? So they wouldn't get mixed up. Because if you got a lot of them, and you go to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as they're running by, it gets hard to count. Okay, and especially if they're running through the gate. But if you bring them in single file and you held them under the rod, they passed under the rod, and everyone that passed under the rod, you counted. So what that meant was the first 9 was yours, the 10th one was God's. Well, what if it was the best of the flock? Well, I want to keep that. And so God said, what did He say? What did He say if you do? Look, He said, verse 33, He shall not search whether it be good or bad, and neither shall He change it. Well, I'm going to change this one for number 2. God said, no, you give number 10. You give number 10. And if you change, now here's what you could do. You could bring it and redeem it with money. From what I gather and understand, they could put a value on it and you could redeem it. You could buy it back. All right? But and God had the lie detector test, and y'all remember that. If you don't know, God had a lie detector test, and they got sick in the bowels and everything else. But if I bring number 2 and not number 10, okay, and God reveals that I have brought number 2 and not number 10, and then I have to go back and get number 10, and He gets number 2 and number 10. That make sense? And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't take from us because we give Him number 2 and not number 10. Just thought for you, okay? Because you can't redeem them. The change there shall be holy, and it shall not be redeemed. God said, okay. So, but we see that Moses confirmed it. Moses confirmed it. Now Malachi chapter number 3. Let's read verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. They were having a hard time. The enemy was destroying their crops. There was famine in the land. They were hungry. They were empty. Okay? God said, Well, a man robbed God. Lord, we robbed you. How can I rob you? God said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. Not just tithes, but offerings. And we'll talk about offerings in just a minute. He said, because you've robbed me in tithes and offerings, you're cursed with the curse. He said, bring me all the tithes into the storehouse. That's God speaking. Okay? So we see that Abraham commenced it, Jacob continued it, Moses confirmed it, Malachi commanded it. Now Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, he said it different than that. Okay? He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You see the exclamation point in your Bible? He wasn't speaking gently. He was speaking forcefully. He said, for ye pay tithe of men and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, see there, he said, what are you saying? He says, you have paid tithes of your spices, your mint, your cumin, your anise. He says, you're so legalistic, and you're so legal in what you're doing that you're paying the tithe even of your spices. But now look at what he ended there with, and he said, these ought you should have done. Is that not what he said? These ought ye to have done. He said, you was right in doing that. Y'all see that? He says, you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin. These ought ye to have done. He says, here's the problem. You've left off these others. But what Jesus was saying, he commended it. He commended them for tithing. He says, you're doing right by tithing. You ought to have done that. Okay? So Jesus commanded it. But go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 14. I wish every Christian there was around could have heard this lesson this morning. I mean it. Not because I think people are robbing God, but this is something that's not preached on and taught today. And this is as much a biblical principle, and people are ignorant to it. But you can't help them if they're not here. Amen? But I wish they were here to hear this. Not because I'm teaching, but because the Word of God teaches it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. All right? He ordained it. Because remember, the tithe was to take care of those that at the house of God, to take care of the house of God and those that were working in the house of God. Okay? Notice what Paul said, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. Paul said, God ordained this thing called tithing. And God ordained this thing that you ought to take care of the house of God and the servants of God. All right? Paul said, I didn't write it. Don't know what he said? And he said, I've not even used it. Neither have I written these things. For though I preach the gospel, verse number 16, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So we see that God commissioned it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 14. And Paul said, go back to verse number 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait up the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so the Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But Paul said, I've used none of these things. And I have wrestled with the turned full-time pastor and bivocational pastor for a long time. And God finally settled some things in my heart this morning. As this is positionally, not personally. Okay? I'm speaking positionally now. The church has a right to take care of the man of God. If you preach the gospel, you ought to live with the gospel. Alright? But Paul said, I didn't take these things from you. He said, I worked with my own hands. Go to Acts chapter number 18. Paul didn't say he didn't take none of them, but what are you saying? I don't depend upon you. Okay? I don't want to be beholden unto you. I don't want to come in and be scared to preach. You understand now? That's what Paul was saying. He says, I don't want to be held under you. I don't want you to hold it over me. I want to be able to have the liberty to preach to you and speak to you. And I don't want to be a burden to you. Notice what he said, notice in Acts chapter number 18. Look, and this is off the lesson just for a moment. Acts chapter 18, verse number 3. We're talking about Paul departed in verse number 1 to Athens. He came to Corinth and he found a Jew named Aquila, and born in Pontus, and then his wife Priscilla. And he came unto them. And because he was of the same what? Craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupations they were tent makers. That word wrought means work. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 20, verse number 34. Paul is writing here, and let's read verse number 33. He said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands, he's holding up his hand, he's saying, these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He says, my hands is what's brought in my necessities. He says, my hands have ministered unto my necessities. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter or Acts chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 9. Here's why. Here's why he done that. He's not talking about his labor and travail in this verse of his labor and travail of ministry. All right? Notice what he says. He said, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. Y'all see that? Why? We preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul said, my hands have labored. I work night and day. One, that I would not be a burden to you. But two, that I wouldn't feel that I was owing to you. And you couldn't hold it over my head and say, okay, you preach that again. We're not going to give you any money. You know, there's churches that do that. God forbid. And I want to say this, you do well for the size of our church, how you take care of me. I couldn't ask for more. I'm honest. But I'm talking future. Whether, and this is positionally, not personally. Okay? You have a duty and an obligation with the tithes that's brought in to take care of God's men. That's what the Bible said. But God help that you'd have a lazy preacher. They wouldn't work. I'm honest. There's a mindset and a concept of ministry today that I can preach on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I can study a little here and study a little there, and I can go play golf, and I can go fish, and I can go visit, and I can go off to this camp meet, and I can go to that camp meet, and I can go to that. And they're living off a church and being chargeable unto the church. And Paul said, I'm not going to do that, because when I come in and I want to preach, I want to preach. And I've struggled with that. Okay? And I'm not Paul. But I'm just saying there's a balance to this thing. But God commissioned it. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2, and we'll finish with that and we'll let you have it the next, give you a break to next Sunday. Now concerning, verse number 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. When do you do it? First day of the week. When's that? Right now. That's why we pass a plate on Sunday morning offering. We say it offering. We ought to call it Sunday morning tithes. We might all just change the name of it. This is your Sunday morning tithes. We say it an offering because we don't want to use that word tithes to offend somebody. See, when we say the word tithes, it leads a sense of a demand. Yeah. If I say, let's take up an offering, then that's an offering is free will. But if we say, all right, it's time for our tithes, well, they're demanding my money. No, God's demanding our money. Why? Because the ministry cost. Ministry cost. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know that. But sometimes we just need to be reminded. We need our ground shaken that, hey, let's make sure we're doing this thing right. Because you can get complacent. And it's real easy. That's why I listen to preaching. And we went to a meeting Friday night, and I thought I was doing pretty good. But we left, and I was like, I might ought to have stayed at home. I might have felt better. Father, I love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege, God, you give us.